the whole time I was misty-eyed. You guys talking about all the bands I love, and then you talked about us. It was so cool.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 251 of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Whoa! 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 Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and normally people that I love leave, and you probably tell why. But this is a homecoming for an artist who thrives on all stages.
Yes, very, very sorry about that. everything that's just happened then for that past 10 seconds. This week's guest is the fantastic, amazing Cassidy Pope. What a champion.
I'm going to put her out there. I reckon she's my favourite Pope, because I'm not fussed on the guy with a pointy hat.
Fuck.
And the only other person I can think of is Nick Pope, who's a goalkeeper for Newcastle United, and I've got no, like, allegiance to him. So, stupid jokes and niche references, that's the way to do a podcast. But no, we love Cassidy. She is the queen of pop punk turned country star. And breaking it into the mainstream after winning The Voice USA in 2013. Whether she's captured your heart through storytelling lyrics, Hey Monday, or just being a rad human, she's got one in a lifetime career mixing everything she's done. And she's very excited at the moment because there's a lot of buzz about her returning to her emo roots, her latest singles, Almost There, People That I Love Leave, and collaborating with Taylor Akon on Coma is a really throwback vibe and her darker side. But what's super surreal to me, it's how this conversation came about. Last month, we did an episode 246 with emo historian Chris Payne, looking at the scene's mainstream explosion boom period and his book, Where Are Your Boys Tonight? Well, throughout that conversation, Cathy gets mentioned and she listened, shared it on her socials with some very nice words. And ever since, we've kind of reconnected and talking to make this happen. So had to jump at the opportunity to dive into her career again and get some fresh perspectives on just this wild journey.
I don't think anybody listens to this, right? Even though I check them, I see the numbers now and again, right? And I see there's thousands of people that do listen to this, right? In my heart, I don't think anybody listens to this at all. So when I hear things like Cassidy Pope replying to one of our comments because she's listened to the podcast, I just think, that's fucking mental.
That's mental.
Like, if you break down everything she's ever done, right? So, like, the singer from A Monday, she listened to our podcast. That's fucking mad, right? The singer of The Voice, she won The Voice in America. She's listened to our podcast. That's fucking mad. Country singer and fucking massive star in that scene, Cassidy Pope, has listened to our fucking podcast. What? If this podcast is good enough for Cassidy Pope, it's definitely good enough for you, general public, absolutely normal civilian bastards, right? I'm joking. I love you as much. But yeah, I was blown away when I found out that she listened. And this is such a fun chat. this chat is even better than the first one we did, because it was a bit more relaxed. It was a bit more fun. She wonderfully opens up on everything we ask her. There's nothing that she doesn't answer, or no questions that she shrugs at. She literally was an open book, and I fucking loved her for that. So thank you very much, Casty. If you're listening again, that's mad.
Yeah, that blows my mind as well, especially when you think back to, I've listened to her back catalogue for years. So the fact that she's listened to our voices is very weird, but no, this was just a generally like a catch up with very old friends. And as Sean mentioned, there's so many secrets and honest conversations that happen throughout this, throughout some wild laughs in between and some stories you'd never expect us to get on. So we don't want to ruin anything by telling you any previews or stuff. We're just going to get straight into it. But before we do...
But she admits to 6 murders. Anyway, come on.
But before we get to that, just a quick reminder to go and follow us at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and to support this podcast via our Patreon page at patreon.com/Sapling. That is the best way to keep this thing going, and it's been so wholesome to see so many wonderful messages over this last week celebrating the 250 milestone and things we're going to get into next. So go and check us out at Sapling Pod, patreon.com/Sapling. But without any further ado, this is the wonderful Casty Pope returning on episode 251 of Sapling Podcast.
She is my favorite Pope as well, thinking about it.
Sapling!
Kasapling! A deep Pope! What the... I've gone too far too soon, haven't I? Sorry.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin! Yes! Back once again with Renegade Master is the mighty singer, songwriter, and all-round beautiful person, Cassidy Pope. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for that intro. That's so nice.
That's okay.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's brilliant to see you again. It's been 4 years since we recorded one of these things.
Are you
wow.
serious?
Yeah. I had a look earlier. We went to you did the UK tour. We went to Bristol and the Fleece. 4 years.
And I mean,
that has been like the end of the world in between that as well, which we've all kind of just
been through.
We try to forget about. Yeah, this is the year you don't talk about.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's so funny. Wow. Well, good to see you guys again.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. It's been weird. We've kind of reconnected after having Chris Ping on the podcast and him talking about his book and mentioning Hey Monday and yourself throughout that. And I mean, there's so much we want to talk about off the back of it and just things you're up to throughout this. But how are you doing at the moment? What's going on? What's new? It seems like you've been traveling a lot behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, I just got back from England on Friday. I was there visiting my boyfriend. He's been there for 3 months doing a musical on the West End. So I went one other time, like a couple months ago, and just went back for a little family thing that he had. So yeah, I'm a little jet lagged right now, not gonna lie, but makeup makes a big difference. So we're good.
Is the boyfriend American and just over in England, or is he actually English?
He's English. We are based here in Nashville, but he's from Cornwall. So that's where I was.
Wow.
Nice.
That's
it's a nice place to visit.
Many a Cornish pasty or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time. I don't feel like it's a trip to Cornwall if I don't get a pasty at some point.
I just find it amazing. Yeah. Because like they're everywhere. Like a Cornish pasty is known throughout the UK or whatever. So every truck stop has got them. But yeah, to hear American, yeah, just appreciate the Cornish pasty is brilliant. It's
and
surreal.
Say it right. And say it right. Not pasty.
Yeah.
I've heard pasty before. I'm like, that's a different thing.
Yeah. Cornwall does pasties? No way. There's lots of... I thought it was a lot of old conservative women. You wouldn't think they'd be into pasties, but you never know what happens behind closed doors.
This is true. You don't know. You do not know. But yeah, it was a good trip. It was nice. But yeah, good to be back and working on the next single release. So chatting with my team about that right now and just signed with Sound Talent Group, a booking agency that are amazing. So we're kind of scheming for next year and maybe even this fall. So yeah, working on all that stuff. It's been fun.
Yeah, constantly busy. And I mean, I've always found your career so interesting and kind of unique because you've kind of had this spotlight of three different musical worlds. You know, you started very with that punk DIY ethos, going straight into the mainstream pop culture world of The Voice, and then country as his home kind of Dolly Parton land anyway. But I mean, when you get a chance to look back at all this now, do you feel like you really had one of those like once in a lifetime careers and look at different perspectives? Because you've really been able to see a lot of how this industry works in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel really fortunate because I've been able to get to a certain level of success in both pop punk and country. And I feel like that in itself is an achievement. I'm really proud of that. But yeah, I do feel like the whole thing is very unique. I don't know why me, but I think everyone grows up with a lot of different influences. I grew up in Florida and I was in South Florida. So it's not like North Florida is very country and it's very Southern, which is weird, but South Florida is not. And it's a lot of things. It's a lot of pop, a lot of rock, a lot of rap, hip hop. And so I grew up listening to a lot of different kinds of music. So I think throughout my career, when I would make these pivots, I was doing country as a kid and then I pivoted to pop punk when it was kind of taking off in my hometown of West Palm. And then I pivoted to like more pop right before The Voice. I did like a pop EP, and on The Voice, it was like this evolution that people got to see where I went back to country and so on. So it just kind of, I don't know. I just have a lot of different influences. And now that I'm back in the pop punk space, it just feels like I'm taking all of those influences and merging them, even though it's not country. I'm still kind of applying like country songwriting as far as like telling a story. I still want the lyrics to say something and not just be catchy. So it feels good. And I feel very lucky to have had the weird, bizarre career I've had.
Is there any major comparisons or differences between the scenes you've been involved with? Like, how does country compare to the pop punk scene or the mainstream pop scene? Or
yeah, I mean, I feel like, unfortunately, a similarity is the whole not being enough women on tours and on festivals and on the radio and stuff. So I was genuinely taken aback by that when I kind of came back to this genre. And, you know, I remember back in Hey Monday, we were constantly compared to Paramore, and I was never on a tour with another female fronted band except for one time, and we did tons of tours. And so coming back in 2023 and being like, wow, it's still like this, and seeing festival lineups come out and there's like one or two women on it. It's just kind of mind boggling. It's still like that. And it's very much like that in country music, unfortunately, especially country radio. I'm sure you know all about that, but just the percentage of women that get to number one on country radio is like in the single digits. It's awful. And so that's a similarity. I think the difference is, just the cultures. I think pop punk and mainstream and pop are very progressive for the most part. And it's very daring and people push the boundaries and, they can say whatever they want in their songs. And in country music, it's for the most part, very conservative, very like there are these boundaries in songwriting, and women especially can't say certain things or wear certain things, or they're called certain names. And so I think I really enjoy the freedom I feel being back in this genre. And I try to not to put those boundaries on myself when I was in country music. But I think when you're in Nashville and you're in it, and especially when I was on a country label, you just kind of subconsciously do that. You water yourself down and you don't realize it. So yeah, those are the major differences I feel.
Yeah. That's so crazy to hear both of those worlds, the restrictions, but especially not being able to kind of be your full self with certain nuances or wording, or as you said, clothes or anything like that. I mean, yeah, it must be really hard to kind of play the music industry game in, you know, in a lot of ways. And kind of conform to that. I mean, yes, there must have been so many kind of inner thoughts and arguments and kind of listening to people you don't really want to take advice from and those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've been in this industry since I got my first record deal when I was 15. So, and then I was doing music full time from like 14. So I've been doing it for a really long time. And I think when you start really young, you almost just like, or from early on, you start to collect these thoughts and these falsehoods that you're told. And so even if you feel like you have all this experience, you also have a lot of exposure to, people saying things to you that aren't true, that like you have to be skinny, or you can't be too tan because it might be confusing to people in the Northeast who don't go to the beach.
Wow.
Like really weird, weird shit that you're told. So yeah, I mean, I think, you don't realize it. You just kind of end up doing things and saying things that you feel like you're supposed to. And then once I, especially, you know, with my journey, once I started going to therapy and really like digging into why I was not feeling like myself or I wasn't happy, that's when it sort of all came together. Like, oh, it's because for a very long time I've been told things and I didn't realize they stuck on me for so long.
Yeah, I think people just don't realize being so much into that world. Like once you're at a top level for things, how much opinionated people are, and especially, you know, like the higher up in labels and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure it can be quite difficult to navigate all that, as you said. But is there being any one like little thing in particular, like now that you've been able to do again, and you're just like, oh, it's just the ability to do that is so freeing?
Yeah, I mean, I now that I'm not on a label, and it's been, I've had a couple of times I've been able to collaborate with people, but you know, I can just collaborate with another artist and there's no issue. the only person that I've collaborated with in the past couple of years who's on a major label is my friend Jax. And there was like, you know, an email that had to be sent to the label and they approved it. But, you know, I think when there's two major labels involved and you're not on the same one, there's all this red tape. There's just tons of issues. And so I feel really just so excited. And it's like giving me pause for ever thinking maybe I'll go to a label again. Like, it's just like, that's such an easy thing to do. I mean, Taylor Acorn and I have a song out, and you know, we decided to do it together, and it came out like a month later. So it's just, it's so nice to not have those restrictions.
But it's nice to see you're in a good place and having fun. And high-spirited about so much going on, and there's a lot we'll get to. But just speaking of those like different chapters, like how do you see it? Do you see them as like different versions of you? Like, do you feel like there's a emo Cassidy, a country Cassidy? Like, how do you add those up? I mean, I'm sure it must just feel like one giant whirlwind of a career when you do look back. But yeah, do you kind of see it as different chapters, different versions? How would you label it?
I mean, I see it as different chapters, but I don't see it as different me's. I've always loved both genres. I've always loved pop punk and I've always loved country. So, and both I've gone in waves. Like I think when I went to country music, there was this, when I was in Hey Monday, like we got in the scene kind of as it started to fizzle. It wasn't as trendy and mainstream. And then when I went country in 2013, I think it was, I wasn't super into what was coming out in the pop punk scene at that time. And then fast forward to, you know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so, I started not loving what was going on in country music. And so I just feel like both genres have this ebb and flow, all genres do. And I have kind of just gone where I feel like, okay, I can identify with this. This feels like me. I'm going to go over here. But yeah, I mean, have I changed my hair? You know, yes. do I maybe like throw in not, you know, say ain't or I don't know, boy as much in my emo music? Yeah. But, for the most part, I feel like I've remained me, which I think is important. I've grown for sure. I think when I did pop punk when I was 18, I'm like not the same person. There are parts of me that are the same, but I've grown a lot. So that changes. I feel like I'm quoting that scene in Bridesmaids where Kristen Wiig and Rose Byrne are like, I feel like you people change. Yeah, but they change, but they stay the same, but they're still changing. It's like this weird, ridiculous kind of explanation, but it's true.
Bridesmaids can always teach you a lesson or two with that,
right?
With that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I still don't know whose side I'm on with that argument, but yeah, I feel like I've had a through line with who I am through everything, which is good.
Well, all the publicity and kind of outlets have really labeled the current music you're putting out as just returning to your emo roots. And following your career, I think like you've always embraced that with whatever you're doing. You know, you've never shied away from Hey Monday. You've never shied away from just being a pop punk kid at heart. What was it in particular that made you want to go back to the rock world 100% now compared to anything else? Was there a certain switch that flipped? Was there anything in particular?
It was kind of gradual. I remember in 2020, I was writing my record Thrive, which came out in 2021. And with that writing process, I was like feeling this tug and this pull back to the rock genre. And I thought, well, and I think everybody was feeling reflective and, you know, introspective during that time. And I just thought, why can't I make a pop punk country record? I mean, the only thing keeping me from it is labels and feeling like, oh, I have to label it one thing. So I wrote that record. It felt amazing. It was really fun. I got to do it with Nick Wheeler from All American Rejects. And I also had Karen Fairchild from Little Big Town. So it was like I had these two parts of me in these two humans that helped me make this record. It was so fun. It was amazing. It didn't do well. It was like country was like, this is too rock. And rock was like, this is too country. So it just didn't translate. I will say since then, there have been country artists who have done it and it succeeded. And the difference is I'm a woman and I don't have a major label. So we'll just leave it there. But, and then after that, I was like, okay, I just feel I hate having to, you know, conform to anything. But I did feel in that moment after that record cycle came and went, like, I have to make a decision here. I don't really listen to country music anymore. I really love what rock is doing again. I'm not aligning with country music's views and fundamental values. I have spoken out about things and have been on the front lines of people in country music with big platforms calling me out and calling me things. And while I'm fine with that because I'm standing up for what's right, I just feel like, why am I in the same orbit as these people? And maybe this isn't the place for me. And I'm lucky to where I have this other influence, this other side that I love, that is true to my heart and true to my roots, that I can say, you know what? I'm going to go over here. This feels right for me. And so it was last year, the beginning of 2022, where I started writing with that in mind. I went to LA, wrote with one of my best friends, who's a great writer, Ali Tamposi. And we wrote People That I Love Leave. It just felt like, okay, a light bulb went off and I was like, okay, this does feel like Hey Monday, but it's not. It's new, it's fresh, it's different. And it's something that I want to do on my own. I don't want to go back to Hey Monday. I just want to continue on this journey. And because it just feels more authentic to do it that way. So it's just kind of over like a couple of years, honestly, is what led me here.
But I think it is testament to say that, you know, you have that option to go between these things and still have a diehard Orange is the People who are just supporting you for whatever. And I've seen that a lot with these new tracks, is that, you know, people who know you from whatever are just happy you're doing stuff and having fun and getting to write music that you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of people are like, I'm so glad you're back doing music.
Hang on.
those are the like the rock fans who, you know, don't like country music. So they didn't follow me. Of course, I wouldn't expect them to. So they think I've just like not done music for 10 years.
Wow.
And then I'm starting again. And I think that's really cool because I don't, you know, I know that I'm not going to please everyone. Not everybody's going to love what I do when I make a shift like that. So I love that I'm kind of like, my following is growing. I'm seeing it happen. So it's like, it's cool. And I don't know. There's a lot of people coming out of the woodwork that, a lot of fans that loved Hey Monday that are like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard about you in so long. And I could be offended, but I'm not, because I just think that that's like, okay, great. I'm reaching the people I want to reach, you know? So it feels kind of cool.
Well, it's also testament as well to how well you did as well while over doing country and pop as well. The fact that you could technically disappear to the pop punk kids while working and doing something else that you love is testament to you, I guess, because a lot of people from outside, look at me, for example, when my band failed miserably, I had to go, right, what can I do as soon as possible that keeps me in that light?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm not missing from the scene, I guess. Whereas you just went, right, I'll go over here, I'll do this, and smashed it and did really well. I was still like, don't forget me. I'm in this. Hey, guys. So, testament to you for that. That's awesome that you got to do that.
Thanks.
And you did do that. And
but there's no right or wrong way to do any, you know what I mean? Like that was your path. And I took my path. And I think a lot of me just walking away from pop punk and going full force into country was because, you know, I had to make that decision in that moment. And I felt like if I kind of dabbled in both, I wouldn't succeed and go very far in either. It would just kind of be this middle ground and at the time it wasn't happening. Like, I mean, there weren't any country artists that were doing like pop punk. So, I had to kind of make that decision. And yeah, I think you did great.
Do you know what? That's all I've ever wanted to hear. So this is going to be our last ever episode. I did all right.
You made it.
Thanks, Cassidy. I did all right.
You're doing
right.
Great, sweetie.
Mom, do you hear that? Do you hear what she said? Mom. I need to get my mother now. Speak to my mother quick. She doesn't think I'm doing very well. No.
I'm here to lift you up.
Yeah, thank you very much. Job done.
We need you on every week in that case. Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I'm down.
You couldn't call me every Monday morning, could you? And just be like, come on, Sean. We've got another week of this. We can do this. Come on now.
You got this. Stick out.
Yeah. Oh, I need that.
Yeah, I'll just be the resident pep talk person. You just have me on once a week.
You can have a segment if you want. Just send us some really nice messages to send to people.
Every week,
I'm down. Yeah. I'm so down. Spread some positivity.
Words of affirmation with Cassidy Pope.
Yeah. No, words of hope with Cassidy Pope.
Nice. I can tell you were a songwriter. Rhyming. Look at you, rhyming.
Yeah, I was going to say, I went to rhymezone.com really quickly. And
I love Rhymezone.
Every front person I've ever met knows about Rhymezone. And it's like, I bet you fucking do. We've all typed in dog and see what comes up with dog.
I would type in like the easiest word to rhyme with, because when you're in the session and you're literally like, you just have this brain block, you're like, I gotta just unlock that and just go to Rhyme Zone. It helps every time. Every time.
I love it that it's universal Rhyme Zone. It doesn't matter what country you come from or what band you were in or what genre, you've used Rhyme Zone because, you couldn't think of a word. Brilliant. I love it.
You couldn't rhyme dog.
Fog.
There we go.
Let's not start now. Yeah, we'll end up writing a song instead.
But one of the other things I've really I noticed from this period is that you recently posted and said that, you know, going back into this world, just being able for you to not only reconnect with a lot of music you loved back in the day, but younger self. And not to kind of ask this really deeply, but I mean, as you said, you were on the road and in this industry from such a young age, touring internationally. I'm sure there's a part of you that didn't really get to enjoy the everyday life of kind of growing up in the late teens, early 20s, and even before then. So when you say reconnecting with your younger self, how therapeutic has that been?
It's been amazing. We definitely didn't get to soak up anything that happened with Hey Monday. It was so fast. It was so crazy. We were on a major label, so they just filled our days with press. You know, we were going to these amazing places like Japan and Australia, places we had never been before. And we just spent all day just doing interviews and, you know, and it was, I sound ungrateful. It was amazing, but you know, we didn't get to soak up anything really. And I definitely missed the college days. I always say I went to tour college because it was, I felt like from what I've heard, it's just partying, but, we partied, for sure. But I connecting with her, it's kind of like, I don't know. When I got into music, it's even before Hey Monday, who I'm connecting with, you know what I mean? Like when I started doing music, it was because I took lessons, I started singing and it felt really good and I loved it like right off the bat. And it was just this feeling of purpose. And I was like, I don't know what this is, what I'm feeling, but like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And connecting with that girl, it's not even like the Hey Monday girl or whatever. It's like the kid that started singing who was like, I can't explain why I love this, but I do. And I can't imagine doing anything else. And so when I get into these, you know, businessy kind of conversations with people and, I had a really, really tough conversation, about a month ago with someone who's no longer on my team, but, it was just a really deflating, really tough conversation. And it just was really like, it just made me feel terrible. And I had to remember why I'm doing this. And, you know, if there's someone on the team that doesn't believe in you the way that your younger self believed in you, then they gotta go, you know? So that kind of stuff, reconnecting with her has helped me see things a little bit more clear. And, connecting with the Hey Monday Cassidy as well has been fun and a bit like, I don't know, a tiger out of the cage kind of thing where she was really running around being crazy. Cause I just was like, I'm 18. I'm on tour with Fall Out Boy. I get to do whatever I want. And I did. And kind of getting that energy back feels really fun because I can do whatever I want. I mean, you know, within reason. But
I don't know. You could get away with a murder or two, I reckon. Who knows?
Yeah.
I never murdered anyone, all right?
Yeah. It was never proven. Yeah. It was never proven. Come on, guys. Oh, well.
Yeah, you know? Just
don't go searching all of the Hey Monday tour dates and where serial killers might have.
Could you imagine? Might have happened.
I made that joke because I saw the other day that somebody made the connection between the band Portishead. Wherever they've gone on tour, a Banksy painting has turned up.
What?
So somebody thinks that somebody in Portishead might be Banksy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, ooh, that's very cool. Yeah, that's a cool correlation. That would be awesome. I hope that's true. We don't have anything like that.
Whatever Hey Monday toured, people were murdered. What?
Yeah, murdered, like, in a good way. Like,
we murdered that show. Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
Sorry.
At the bare bones of everything, it must just be so nice to be able to go back to those roots and to that version of yourself. Because we all get caught up in the business side of it, and it takes the fun away sometimes and the pressure, and you're looking at things so differently rather than why you're doing this. So to be able to get that perspective again, I'm sure it's just filled you with so much joy and like a new lease of life in many ways.
Yeah. And it's just healthier. Like mentally, you have to be happy. You have to do what feels authentic to you. And sure, there has to be a level of, okay, I have to think about finances and I have to think about the rollout of this song and things that are just kind of come along with like adulthood. If I wasn't thinking about it for music, I'd be thinking about it with my 9 to 5. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your life. You have to think about those things. But, you know, I just feel connected to like the passion of it again, which is, you know, I kind of lost for a minute, especially when I was with a label and I couldn't release the music I wanted to release. And there was a level of that in Hey Monday. We were on a major label. We came into making our first record with a certain sound and it changed and was, and you know, the Columbia Records was on a roll with Boys Like Girls and We the Kings, and we were on that same label. So, and Metro Station. So we kind of got into the same pop way with the music. And that really wasn't what we wanted to do at the time. We were kind of harder. We had, I don't know, heavier guitar riffs and stuff. And my lyrics were definitely less conversational. And then we got into the studio with really big producers. We got signed to Columbia and it was like, let's go this direction. And I was 8. I think I might have even been 17 when we made the record. I wasn't gonna say no. I pushed back on things, but I wasn't gonna like be like, okay, never mind. Send back the deal and let's not go on tour with Fall Out Boy. I want to do this. I was like, you know, I made it. I'm on a label and, you know, so I don't even know why I went there. But, I think it was because just like you get lost in the machine of things and the labels and the, you know, you have these really successful people telling you, no, if you want to make it, you got to do it this way. And you're a kid and you're like, okay, all right, you know better than I do. So that's kind of how it happens and how you get further away from yourself in a way.
Is that why there was never a second Hey Monday album? Because you know, you released a few EPs after the debut and there was always rumors that the one of them was supposed to be the album and then things got complicated and whatever. But yeah, it sounds like there was a lot more back and forth than maybe people realized.
Yeah, I mean, we got our A&R left, so the guy who got us signed in the first place left and we didn't really have another champion at the label. So when he left, it got a little difficult and we were having a hard time getting a hold of anyone. And then there was a new label president. So when we had our EP that was supposed to be an album, that is correct, we just kept running into just obstacles and barriers and it kept being like, things kept being pushed and we just wanted to get music out. And we thought, well, we'll do an EP for now. And then we'll like continue to keep writing and making the record. And then it just kind of all fell apart and the label didn't care anymore. They started asking me if I would go solo, which is not what you want to hear when you're in a band.
And
I didn't want to go solo. I wasn't ready for that. I didn't even think about going solo. And so we actually ended up getting off the label. Because of that, we sort of stopped getting tour offers. We weren't really in that position where we were booked like a year out with touring. It was crazy. And we just stopped getting those opportunities. I got to the point where I started panicking and being like, is this the end? Are we going to be one of those bands that like keeps trying 10 years down the line and we're all broke and we can't support ourselves? And I kind of got in my head about it and panicked about it. And I just was like, I think I have to leave the band and do my own thing and figure it out. Cause this is scaring me. At the time I was living in West Palm Beach with my mom and my sister. And, I was used to being on the road a lot. And like, when you get that taste and you're like, and it's not even, you know, we were on tour with Fall Out Boy to sold out arenas. Like we headlined small clubs. It wasn't even the size of the rooms. It was the fact that I wasn't out anymore and I was just home, and the label, we weren't with the label anymore. We weren't getting tours. And I was just like in Florida where there's really nothing for you there as a musician. I just was like, I'm going to move to LA and go solo and see what happens. So that's kind of what led me to do The Voice. I was in LA for about a year before I even auditioned, and It was a moment of desperation is why I auditioned. I wasn't like wanting to take that route, but it just wasn't happening. So that's kind of what led me there.
Yeah. How much is like The Voice produced and figured out backstage? Cause I've never really understood how it kind of works really.
So they scout a lot of people that come on the show because they're very open about the fact that they have people, contestants, artists on the show who might have had past careers or failed careers or were backup singers, whatever. So they scouted me and asked me to come audition. So I did and got through and everything. And the process was it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through, but they were so accommodating to us, and like the PAs were just, they were just so kind. They again, like called us artists, not contestants, because they knew a lot of us were artists and wrote our own music and had released music ourselves. So it just was a really, caring environment. And I just went back recently to, sing for Blake Shelton's last episode. And I was so happy to see most of the people there were the same people as when I was there 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. And the new people that were there, they were still doing the like pep talks. They were still checking on all the artists. And it's just like, it's such a beautiful environment. Although it was the hardest thing I've ever done, it was still like, they took care of us, which was, it was amazing.
Well, yeah. I only asked because I thought it would be literally the complete opposite of that. Like, I thought it would just be like, the machine. The machine is working.
Yeah.
Be in that cold cupboard storeroom until we call you. And then you perform. And then you go back to the cupboard. But no, that's amazing that they were so good.
I think it might be like that on some other ones. Because I've come from that world, I've met a few people on the other shows, and I've heard okay. some things that aren't great. So I got approached to do the X Factor at the same time. And I didn't do, and that one you get like $1 million or some shit when you win. It was like, and my manager at the time was like, do that one. And I was like, no. And, but they like, they do the, they make it dramatic, and they get the artists to fight with each other, and they make you be in a band together. It's like, it's just like a reality show more so than a singing competition show. So I could have done that and made a bit more money, but if you win, but I just didn't want to do the drama side of things. Yeah.
I've always felt like X Factor's almost rigged. Like it's almost set up. Like they know from day one what's going to happen and who's going to happen. And that's why I think they treat people a bit shitty. I don't know. I'm making this up. I'm conspiracy theory.
I don't know. I mean, anything's possible. Who knows?
I just like the idea of when your old manager found out what the prize for X Factor was, just let up and go, oh, I'd get 25% of that. So do that.
Yeah. Oh, quarter of a mil. Let's win. You're not doing nothing for it.
I get it. But I was like, I can't do that. I cannot be on that. I mean, kudos to people who do it. I know people who've been on it and they're great. And it's not against anyone who does it. It's that they like the show makes a spectacle of people. And I just didn't want to be a part
very
of
very much so.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you went on The Voice and the rest is literally history because you won the whole goddamn thing. But super appreciate you being so honest with these subjects as well, because a lot of people just don't get to see and hear about these things behind the scenes. And what you said there about Hey Monday, I just find very interesting. And going on the flip side to that, I think it's again a testament to how much of a connection that debut album made with so many people, because people still talk about
so
it today. And as Chris Payne mentioned when he came on the podcast and he talks about in the book, I mean, a lot of people kind of see Hey Monday as like that missed opportunity or the band that just got away. Maybe you were in the right place at the wrong time and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure it's difficult to kind of hear those things as kind of, they're meant as compliments, but I'm sure that they kind of don't feel like it at times. And being able to wrap your head around it. But it must be a weird thing to look back on and see so many people go in, that's a great album, I love the band, the singles really resonated, but then also kind of have it as like, oh, they should have been bigger than they were.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. I mean, I hear that. I agree. I'm like, we should have like really made it further. And then we had the shit end of the stick with a few things, especially the label. And I think we were one of those bands that, one of the few bands, honestly, in the scene that had a major label deal. And while that was like, wow, that looked cool and that was a big deal, it created all of these obstacles for us. And so when we were making that second record, instead of being able to pivot and be like, okay, this isn't working, we're going to put this out instead, there are so many more things hoops to jump through and red tape to work through that. It just like delays things. And like I said before, you know, it was the wrong time. Like you said, because we did come in a bit later and we weren't one of those bands that toured like endlessly before we got signed. We were in the right place at the right time at the beginning, and then it was wrong when we went to this music conference and got signed. And it was just like overnight we just got signed to Columbia Records. It was crazy. But we missed that building period. And I actually read the book and you know, Gabe Saporta was talking about like bands like us, we kind of just came on the scene and we didn't grind it out in a way, like bands like Midtown did. And we didn't get to accumulate that fan base that won't go anywhere no matter what, because they were with you from the beginning and years of building together. It just creates this like really, really tight community. We didn't have that. We went out and opened for Fall Out Boy and we opened for All Time Low and we opened for all these bands, which was great. And we did accumulate a fan base, but we didn't headline that many tours and we didn't grind it out. So, when people say that, it is bittersweet for sure.
Yeah. But at the same time, when you think about it, I mean, the band were only really together for 3 years and there's still such an impact about it.
Unbelievable.
Constantly still get messages about like how much the band meant to people at that time. And especially like how Homecoming and How You Love Me Now is still kind of played in clubs and stuff over here for rock nights and then things like that. So yeah, it's just a weird experience. Just a weird experience how all that can be said, but at the same time, the 3 years you were together, you really did make an impact with people.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love hearing that. And I definitely, I do see the influence there. I mean, like anytime I post anything from Hey Monday, I get hundreds of girls being like, I took a picture of your hairstyle to my hairstylist and did my hair like yours. And I just think that's so cute. And like, I mean, even that just feels like a kind of a cultural effect, which is like I mean, so wild. But yeah, I mean, I'm proud of what we did. I'm happy. I love my life. I'm in a good place in my life. So like, I can't sit here and say that I'm sad that things didn't go a different way. But I think, you know, I did have a moment in my career a long time ago where I did have to kind of grieve. Oh, we're not going to be that thing that I had envisioned. We're not going to do that. Okay. Time to recalibrate. I'm sad about that. And then going to go do this other thing. So like, I think that's what a career is, or, you know, what I've had to do is the ends of these chapters. I have to kind of mourn the end. It's like, I had to do that with country music. I kind of had to be like, I've worked really hard for 10 years in this genre and I'm walking away from it. And it's like, I'm not burning that bridge where I'm like, I hate everyone, but it's like, I'm walking away from this thing that I've been doing. And that's sad, but I'm really excited at the same time. So
yeah,
a lot of that throughout my career.
Yeah. Well, as I said, from someone looking at it from like the outside looking in, I just always find it so amazing how you can just change stuff up and you have a career where you can try different things and it all be there together. But
thanks.
I wouldn't mind, if it's all right with you, just talking about Pete Wentz's influence with Hey Mandy as well, because Chris brought her up and I wasn't really aware of it before, how much of an advocate he was for the band, and he tried to sign you just by himself and then ended up having to co-sign with Columbia and all that. I mean, because as well, at the time period, it is peak Pete Wentz mainstream fame. Mm-hmm. What was all that stuff like? Was he just like a supporter from day one and just wanted to just get you out there?
Yeah, I mean, he came into the situation after we had sort of started talking to Columbia. So we were like, oh, wait, we really want to work with Pete Wentz. And then thankfully, Columbia were like, well, yeah, we'll do a joint venture with Decadence. That's good for us, too. And so it worked out. It was really happenstance. Like our old manager had heard about us through Columbia, because at the time we didn't have a manager. We did, but it was like our hometown management. And they were playing a demo of ours in the Crush management office. And Pete was just in there and he heard it and he was like, who's that? And then that's how that happened. So he ended up being, you know, I think it was more of like he was going to be the word of mouth guy and he was going to take us places. And he had me with him on Degrassi randomly doing a cameo, just stuff that just like random, but like helped with exposure. And they took us on tour and I was in one of their music videos. And so it was just that kind of relationship where it wasn't so much like Columbia were the bank and they were the ones that were taking our music to radio, and they were, you know, that's our A&R. And Pete kind of was an A&R. He was popping into the studio and listening to things and advising and stuff, but it was less of like that kind of stiff, sterile label relationship. It was like he was our dude helping us out and like spreading the word, which was so cool.
Yeah, that must have been insane at the time, really, with his stardom. And I mean, think about it. Bruno Mars was over the moon just to see him walk past at that time. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. He was like, we were like going, I forget what, I think we were in Vegas on a day off. And I think that was like they did the VMAs and they played this, they recorded this performance at the Palms in like a suite, and we got to go, and there were like half naked women dancing, and it was like crazy. And we were just there, and I think I might have been like 19 at the time, but I was like, what is my life right now? What's going on? We would get into Angels and Kings, his like bar that he had in a few different cities around the country, and we would just be in there with Pete. It was just like, it was so nuts. I mean, like, from Under the Cork Tree was my high school, you know, that was my high school album. Like, that got me through high school. So it was just crazy.
And then there he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spinning around very, very fast. Calm down, Pete. Calm down.
Yeah. I mean, they even let me come up and sing Sugar, We're Going Down with them on tour every night.
Amazing.
So just wild. Wild.
Sounds a hell of an experience. I mean, as you I think I've told you this before, as you probably heard on the Chris episode, like, technically, you were the first artist I saw without any parent supervision. So,
sans parents.
I remember hearing that. You poor thing. That must have been fun to just be by yourself rocking out, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Thinking about it now, three really important bands to me from that time, because it was you, Kids and Glass Houses, who massive Welsh and UK influence, and then Fallout Boy. And then Fallout Boy. So yeah, that was a hell of a gig.
Was All American Rejects on that? Oh no, they were on in Australia. There was a few different like lineups for that tour. We were on the whole thing. It was insane. Wow. But
with all that as well, I mean, throughout your career, you've just been a part of so many crazy experiences, whether it's stuff like that, whether it's singing with Avril Lavigne, whether it's, you know, being nominated for a Grammy. I mean, there's so many things we could say to you and you'd just be like, oh yeah, I did that. That's mad.
Completed. Yeah. Tick. Yes, I am. Tick.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Is there anything where you sometimes you just go, oh yeah, that happened, and just kind of like beside yourself to think like, what on earth is this crazy life?
Yeah. It really only happens when I'm like talking to my boyfriend, because, you know, he didn't know about Hey Monday, before we started dating, and he dug into everything, and he was like, you did this at what the, you were, you know. And one of the things that I don't even remember how I came across it, but I remember that I was on the cover of 17 magazine in Indonesia.
Wow.
And it was in a scrapbook. My mom has a scrapbook of all the Hey Monday stuff, typical mom stuff. And we were flipping through it one time at my mom's, and he's like, what the hell? That is crazy. And I thought it was crazy at the time too, but I just forgot. I was on the cover of a 17 magazine. And then another thing that was really cool that we got to do is Hey Monday, we had a full on separate release of Hold On Tight in Japan. So we did like a photo shoot and everything. It was like a whole different cover and everything for Japan. So that was crazy. And I've obviously never done that again. I would love to, but that was some Columbia Records money there.
Have you got a copy of that record though? That's the question.
I do.
Have you got a good. Cause yeah,
I do.
I came across one of the Blackouts, Japanese, cause they tend to do a remake album. And yeah, I came across one online the other day. I was like, oh, I've never owned one of them. That's weird.
That's my album. Do you not have it?
No, I don't. I don't have one, but I have to find it. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta find it.
Sadly,
that's like,
but yeah.
If you buy it, do you technically get some of the money back? Like the 60p out of the fucking pay of the £20
so.
Probably. But
yeah. That's going to go toward the recoupment from the deal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
15 years later. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brett Gurewitz is seeing that money if I buy that, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm like, whoa. Like, we did I met Amy Schumer randomly. Do you remember when she co-hosted a show on Fuse with Mark Hoppus? I forget what the show was called. So it was before she blew up, but we played that show and I got to meet her, and she was super cool and chill. And now she's like huge.
Superstar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Amy Schumer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Very, Badass. Very funny.
Speaking of crazy things as well, like, I've always noticed, and this term probably is the wrong thing, but like, you've always done like sneaky appearances in things, whether it be
sneaky. Well, like the bands didn't know. Yeah, and she's just like, I'll be there now.
Yeah. Just show up at the studio. What's she doing here? Oh, not her again.
But loads of different artists, I like to think, like, oh, Madonna. Oh, what the hell? Life is a I thought I was singing it.
I say it like that though, because like, this, you know, you feature on Yellow Card songs, for example, and it's not really like it's not like featuring Cassidy Pope. Like, you have to really go into the album details to know, like, your backing vocalist. You said, like, you appear in a Fall Out Boy music video. You've been on the TV show Nashville. Like, there's all these little things. Like, is there being any, like, what, like, it must be cool to see, like, you've got Easter eggs throughout your career as well. And is there any we don't know about? Like, is there any little other surprises like that?
Well, I did do a feature with I See Stars, but that's like clearly stated. I sang background vocals on Backseat Serenade by All Time Low, and I wasn't like a feature or anything. But I think, I don't know if they still do, but I remember for a long time they live would like keep my voice in the tracks just to like, help, you know.
There's some sort of PRS, isn't it? Surely there's got to be. You're technically performing every night.
Right.
I'd have a look into that.
I did Degrassi random. I don't
was
know.
Was there Drake there? Was Drake there at the time?
No. Well, he wasn't on set, but he was on the show. I did sing on a Cobra Starship song, but like a lot of us did from Decadence. It was that Snakes on a Plane song. Yeah. So I'm on there somewhere, but I'm not a feature, so you wouldn't know, but I'm sprinkled in there.
It Boys as well. Original Matt Kupchill.
Matt
Kupchill. I know. One of the first things that I did when I moved to LA was sing on that song. And I loved that song. It was so cute and pop. And then, you know, next thing I know, he's like blowing up doing Emo's Not Dead. And I was like, dude, do you remember me? Like, I sang with you. He's like, of course. So I did his cruise. I did Emo's Not Dead cruise last year.
Oh, nice.
How was that? Because that just sounds like a mad experience, getting all those emos on the water.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, it was so cool because everybody was so respectful, and you know, because I'm a fan of I'm a fan of Under Oath, I'm a fan of Dashboard and Cartel, so I was like going to the shows as well, and people were so cool about it. They were, you know, I was just like a fan with them, so it wasn't like I couldn't enjoy the cruise as well. But yeah, it was hard. I will say it was performing on a moving boat, on a moving vehicle. Basically, it was tricky because the headbanging, you kind of lose your balance.
I never thought about that. You could rock out and go forward, and you come back, and you're in a totally different continent. Where am I?
It was wild. It was weird, and I don't drink before I sing because I don't feel like I sing as well. So that kind, I think that was like a hindrance. Cause I feel like when you drink on a cruise, it helps you a bit. Like you get your sea legs a bit more cause you're just like not as aware. But I couldn't do that. So
I love the idea of you singing singing a note and holding it out and then realizing you've gone over a different time zone. And you're like, whoa, I held that for an hour. Held that one note for an hour,
if
technically.
We're being technical. Yep. I know. It was a short one. We went from LA to Mexico, so it wasn't long of a trip.
All right.
But it was awesome.
Well, yeah, I think there might be some murmurs of us going along next year. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
But yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, it would be nice for us.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I'll put in a good word.
Please do. We need a holiday, so that would be like...
We've been doing this... this week now, our 250th episode came out. We've been doing this 250 weeks in a row.
Good for you guys. That's amazing.
it's not good for us.
That's awesome.
We appreciate that.
Mentally, it's not good for us. It's a tiring show. It's a tiring, never-ending show.
Oh, well, you're doing great. You're doing great, you guys. This is where I come in.
Moments of hope.
Keep going.
That was your moment of hope with Cassidy Pope.
Yes!
Please, that's really good, actually. You should record that.
That's my TV advert voice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could do it like the movie guy. One girl bringing you hope.
One mission.
Cassidy Pope. Yeah.
Making you feel good.
On the edge of space. When your life is no longer your own. Just going through all the things he says. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That was
a girl. It was a two turn. Girls.
He's practiced this once or twice. Can you tell?
Yeah. A renegade cop. A robot renegade cop. Sorry. It's late over here. It's late over here and I'm going mad. So sorry about
is it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's all good.
It's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time, seriously.
Of course.
But we won't keep you too much longer because you've got to do stuff in the rest of your day. But as we start
you've got a life, yeah. We won't keep you too longer, but, because live in and stuff.
There's things.
But as we start to wind down on this conversation, there's a couple more things I would like to bring up and ask. Speaking of the boat, I'm sure there must be a handful of venues you have played that just are a little bit bonkers in terms of like the weirdest place to play live. We mentioned this now and again with artists, and you know, Frank Iroh has told us about playing on the back of a pickup truck. Sean's played a ball ring in Madrid. Is there any just things you wouldn't expect to be venues and you've played there, or weird circumstances?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think any place on a country radio tour is the most random because you end up playing like buffets or in the middle of a mall, like a shopping mall. I don't know if it's the same over there. But yeah, those places were super random. One place, I don't know, it doesn't sound random, but to me it was like, I didn't know this was a thing. We literally played at a zoo. And there was like bears in a cage behind us. It felt like once I got there, I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to like be loud around these animals. But you know, once you're there, you kind of have to do it. But I was like, this feels odd. And I didn't know shows happened at zoos. It was just like, we showed up and we played and it was like, that was random. Very weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just imagine the bears going wild behind you and people are like, oh, the bears are really rocking out. And like, no, they just hate noise.
They just hate noise. They're poor things. I mean, never played a zoo again. I actually got offered to play SeaWorld and I said, no way, because I saw blackfish. But yeah, that was a random one for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. A zoo. Yeah,
I've never heard of anyone playing a zoo.
We have not zoo so far. No.
That's, well, there you are.
I thought mine was pretty good with the Theater of Death, the old buffalo.
That's ball pretty ring. Amazing.
Yeah, it's not. Boring. Yeah, it's, yeah, bull ring. Like, yeah, think how many poor. No. Yeah, dreadful. It's dreadful. But yeah, played there. Sawdust on the floor. Yuckavy. Yeah, not nice. Okay. Not nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be going there.
No, don't. Yeah, Madrid, just in case you ever get booked for Spain. Check.
I would like to go to Spain, but maybe, yeah, not that venue, though. No more playing in front of animals.
Yeah, that's a theme. Why is that the theme at the zoos, aquariums, bull rings? Why is...
Yeah, luckily, is it luckily there was no bulls there? It would have been more entertaining on stage for me if I had looked down and they let a bull into where the Linkin Park fans were standing. That would have been fun to like watch for about 4 seconds.
Yeah, before you fled for your life. Yeah.
But I suppose it's only equal. You know, it's only fair. Good. Zoo's the best one. Yeah, best one so far.
You've stumped us that much that we've gone off on tangents. Moving to more positive stuff. Like, you've talked about how excited you are and feeling more free about the new emo music you're releasing and the three tracks you put out lately and Coma, Almost There, and People That I Love Leave. It does show a different side of you. I know you've been so happy about just being able to have that freedom. I mean, what has that just been like for you? And is that just a constant theme we can maybe expect now from even more new music as you go forward?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm gearing up for another one before the end of the year, and I'm continuing on that sonic vibe. It's definitely pop punk. It's in your face. I have a couple of tracks that are a bit more stripped back, that are more sentimental, and it's more about the lyric than anything. But I've always kind of leaned towards like, how would this translate live when I'm writing? Cause I love touring and I love playing shows. And all of these songs, I like cannot wait to play live because they're so energetic, and there's so many moments where I can just picture people's hands in the air and, you know, and claps and stuff. So a lot of crowd participation songs that I feel like will translate so well live. But I'm almost done making the record. So the full album is almost done. And I'm hoping to get that out early next year, but I'm also, I want it to be with a tour. So I might have to be flexible with that depending on when a tour comes together.
Are you eyeing up coming to the UK at all to play?
Yeah, yeah. I am now that I'm with Sound Talent Group. There's actually somebody at the agency who's working on things for next year over there. So, yeah, things I think are going to come together pretty nicely.
Ooh, awesome! Very, very excited about that.
I'll let you know.
Please do. Yeah, we'll come to them. We'll come to a show.
Yeah.
But as well, like, talking about working with Taylor Acorn, I mean, on this track Coma, I mean, she seems one of the most exciting people in the scene at the moment. There's so much fresh buzz around what she is doing, still kind of a newish artist to a lot of people. How was it collaborating with her? Because it just seemed like both of you had so much fun. She was freaking out in a way that getting to work with you as well, and it seems like you just kind of enjoyed the energy that she brought.
I like fell in love with her the moment I met her. She's just the kindest, sweetest person. Like, have you guys met her? Talked to her?
No, not yet.
Ugh, she is like just such a sweet, sweet, sweet person. And I went into the writing session with her and Dan Swank, who we both actually used as a producer. And we were writing for her project. So we wrote Coma. It came out on her own. She released that a few months ago. And then fast forward a couple months later, we were just chatting, just friendly chat about random stuff. And she was like, you know what? Would you sing on Coma? I was like, yeah, I fucking love that song and I'm down to collaborate with you. That'd be amazing. So we released it together as a collaboration and not like I'm featured on a song of hers. It was like we released it both together. And it's so wild. She's doing so well that like my numbers are going up because of her.
Wow.
And she's like, my first song I learned on guitar was 6 months from Hey Monday. This is so cool. I'm like, well, you're helping me out right now. So this is like a mutual thing. And we've just like become really good friends because of it too. So it just felt like a really organic, really like it came from a really sweet place us collaborating together. And it's like one of my favorite collaborations because of the fact that we both just want each other to win. You know, we're not doing it for politics or like, I have the same manager. I have this. And it's like, we just really adore each other. So that was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good to hear.
Yeah. Things like that are always awesome to see. And I'm excited for what the both of you kind of do next. Earlier you said there's a lot of things you find very exciting about the scene now that's kind of drawing you back. Is there any other bands or artists that you think people should really be checking out or be giving more attention to as well?
Yeah. I mean, people know about Water Parks. I love that band. And that album they released, Intellectual Property, was like such an exciting record to me because it reminded me of In Love and Death by The Used, which is my favorite The Used record. And it's just like pop and then rock and then hardcore. And it's like, it was like the first time I've heard a record where it covers all of these bases. And I was like, yes, like the whole album doesn't sound the same. Yay. So I love them and I loved that record. I'm a huge fan of Taylor Acorn, of course. There's a band called Glimmers. I actually wrote with them recently and we wrote something really cool for them. They're super new, just starting out, but they're so sweet. And the lead vocalist, Maggie, she's got an incredible voice. I love what Charlotte Sands is doing. She's killing it. Yeah. And there's a band here. Oh no, I'm blanking because I'm jet lagged.
I'll let you think. Well, I thought you were going to go.
Oh, Arrows in Action.
There you go.
Nice. Arrows in Action, killing it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but before I
forgot. All right. No, it's good. It's good.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to fill time until you remembered what it was. I was going to say, and then there's a band, I don't know, My Chemical Romance, you might have heard of, or something like that.
Hopefully they make it. Yeah, Arrows in Action are great.
I don't know.
I don't know. Arrows in Action, John Harvey's really, really good. I just wrote with him for my project, and his voice is insane. So yeah, we actually have some really cool people in Nashville. Knox is in Nashville. Oh. People here are killing it. So those are like people I think fans should look out for.
Amazing. And one last thing before we let you go. You know, you might have done all these amazing, cool things and just killed the music industry, basically.
Where's he going with this? Where is he going with this?
But one of the most things you should be proudest of is surviving a fight with a cookie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you can see, but I still have a scar. I posted that today. That's pretty impressive.
I do my research. What can
you
I say?
Do your research.
Last minute. Yeah, today he looked. Oh, fuck yeah.
Shit, I didn't do any prep. No, it's such a vivid memory because I was walking in the mall when I was like 4 or 5 and I was eating a Mrs. Fields cookie, and it's like a big cookie company in malls here in America. And it was like it had frosting on top. I was just enjoying it so much. It was so big and I was so small and I was so excited. And I was walking and I just like walked right into a glass table and it just like cut my head open. And I was bleeding and I was like crying because I thought it was worse than it was because my mom's reaction was like, oh my God, you know, they make it worse. And so I'm bawling and they put Band-Aid on my head and fast forward, I have a little scar right here from it. And I've never really thought of like trying to get rid of it. It doesn't bother me. So I'm just like, it's just, I said in my video, you probably already heard me say this, Morgan, but I'll say it again. It gives character. So I'm keeping it.
I just wanted everyone to know how badass you are on top of musical
talent.
Thank
you.
So I think it was a nice way to end, you know, kind of the two sides to you.
The icing on the cookie.
Oh.
Sorry. So bad.
No, you don't even know. Like, well, I guess you listen pun. To the beginning of Chris Payne. He loves a pun. And they are normally dreadful to a deadline every weekend. So that's...
I love puns. Oh, good.
I do when they're done correctly. When they're done correctly and well, I really like puns.
I'll have you know, there's at least five people. I'm not making a pun. I'm just saying there's at least five people who enjoy them. So I got to keep it up, right?
I don't know about that.
Anyway, Cassie, thank you so much for taking
the
time.
You.
Honestly, it's just been great to reconnect with you and catch up. And I love this new music you're putting out. I can't wait to see what's next. And yeah, let us know when you're in the UK because we definitely need to come down to the show and do this again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This was so fun.
No worries. Thank you very much for everything over the years, for the music, for the inspiration. and just being an all-round great person. Thank you very much. You've been lovely
thank
to us,
you.
And you didn't need to be. So thank you very much.
You guys are awesome. I was happy to be on with you. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to Sappy Podcast! Yeah! Hey! Yes, that was the unbelievably beautiful Inside and Out, Cassidy Pope. What a fucking legend. Within our scene, within TV competition scene, within the country scene. What a fucking, what an amazing chat. And again, blown away by how it all came together just because we had Chris Payne, the author, on to talk about emo and pop punk back in the day. Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And as I kept telling her throughout this conversation, like, I honestly think she's got one of the most unique careers ever. She's done it all. She's seen so many different aspects of this industry. And it's just so nice to get an insight into all of that. And to see her so happy about what she's doing now. Like, I really enjoy her country albums and releases, even though I'm not a massive country fan myself, you know.
No, but you are a massive that's only a partial bit of the word.
I've always loved what she's done and these new pop punk emo tracks that she's kind of brought back all their influences is amazing to see. I'm excited to find out where she's going with it and an album, and hopefully she'll be back for that tour soon and we can all have a giant party together.
Yes, I would like that very much. Also, if she listens to this and she's doesn't have anything booked for the end of February, give me a shout. I think I might know a band who would consider, would love to have it on tour. Anyway, yes, thank you very much to Cassidy for that. What a fucking brilliant chat. It happened the week that Mexico has shown that they've got aliens in their possession.
I've missed this, what?
Exactly. It's fucking meant 2 days ago, Mexico, right? The country of Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. The government of Mexico brought two little aliens out in boxes that they've had for since 2017 that they think are 1,000 years old. They're mummified.
What?
They've got eggs in their belly. Yeah. That silence was awkward because it's a fucking real thing. What? What?
Do you know what my first thought was?
What?
Does Tom DeLonge know about this?
He fucking definitely does. 100% he does. Does he?
Must have.
This is the thing, see. If you know about aliens and UFOs and all that shit, right? The fact that Tom DeLonge can play gigs, right, with Blink-182 and isn't constantly shitting himself or hiding in some sort of fucking titanium basement, right, makes me believe that he might be all right.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed they fucking are all right, because if Tom DeLonge's going out doing fucking dick and fart jokes at fucking 50 years old, right, when he could have been warning all us to stop digging fucking into the ground to make our fucking metal bases, I'm going to go fucking mad when I see him. So Tom DeLonge, I know you listen to every Cassidy Pope interview, right? Are you fucking us about? Get in touch with us at Sappening Pod on Twitter, Instagram, also patreon.com/Sappening. Tom, I know you got the money. So fucking check us £3 a month, is it, but please, we've made 251 episodes of this. Go on, man. Go on, Tom.
We never know who's listening. So if any other life forms out there have somehow picked this up as well, hey, come on the podcast. That would be an interesting conversation. And join the Patreon, because we haven't got an alien Patreon, and that would be something completely new for people to experience.
Yeah, it depends if they've got email addresses, I guess, because you definitely need an email address for you to sign up to our Patreon, which is a shame.
Yeah, maybe we should start warning people that you need an email address. Who hasn't got an email? That's a different rant, anyway.
Yeah, 2023, who doesn't have an email? Well, aliens, because they wouldn't need one, would they? But yeah, this, I don't know, maybe they've got some sort of gold from their planet they can just give us in person. Like, I'll meet you in person, alien. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Like, at this point now, whichever way the conversation goes, I'm up for. You could be the nicest species of all time and be wicked, or you could vaporize me. Either way, I'd be fine with it as long as I met an alien. So,
someone please try and... If anyone can hook us up with 10 minutes with Tom DeLonge when they're back over in the UK next week.
I thought...
Please sort it.
I thought you were going to say, if there's anyone... at Area 51 who can give us 10 minutes with a fucking life form not from Earth. Like, imagine it. Like, that's all it took. You going, oh, please, American government, let me into Area 51. And they go, oh, go on. And you go, 10 minutes, run about. That'd be fucking mad. But yeah, oh, I'd love to talk to Dom DeLong about aliens and maybe Blink-182, but more about aliens. Are they coming back over here now?
Yeah.
Because they were over here. And then Travis Barker had to go home, didn't he? On a plane. Ooh, that's mad. And then I saw his post saying, God is great. Yeah. And that his kid needed emergency surgery.
So they
what? They were No. Think about what Travis Barker. God is great.
I know exactly. Exactly.
God is great. Mm-hmm. I had to fly home because my kid needed emergency surgery.
Mm.
God is great for causing. What a mad fucker. Robocop looking without his mask. Fucking drum enthusiast bastard. Nutter.
Yeah. Yeah, they are coming. They are coming.
Tom's
back.
Not coming on now, is he?
No,
Tom's
you've ruined it for every single person.
Definitely.
At Sappin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes TikTok.
Tom's his own man. Yeah, Tom's his own man. We'll be all right. Yeah, we'll be all right. Come on,
if
Tom.
If you want to get involved or send us a message or anything, there's loads of extra things we're putting up on there. So some old video clips and obviously there's photos of us. And just want you to get involved and keep in touch with what's coming on. And via the Patreon, there's even more behind-the-scenes secrets and goodies and getting included into a whole wonderful community of people who have become our best friends. I wrote a very in-depth blog post this week, kind of looking back at these 250 weeks and to some mad memories and what we're going to try and do next and all that kind of thing. So if any of that takes your interest, patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tiers.
Yes, I love all of our patrons equally, but these guys even more so. So that doesn't make sense, does it? No, I'm joking. I love you all very, very much. If you've ever thought about joining our Patreon, thank you very much. If you have joined our Patreon, thank you very much. If you joined our Patreon and left, thank you very much. If you're thinking about joining our Patreon, get a fucking move on! Thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Kelly Ewan, Dilly Grimwood, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Mitch Perry, Nathan Croshaw, Scarlett Charlton, Nathan White, Amy Louise, Alexandra Pemblington, Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Carol Robertson, Kate Puttock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, M. Evans Roberts. Sorry, I had a mouthful of spit. Thank you very much. Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Fines, Vicky, Emily Perry, Adam King of Goss Parslow, Kalila Keane, Indigo Lima, Oscar Victor, Echo, Charlie, Oscar, Charlie, Kilo, Sarah. That's I Love Cox in the police alphabet. I don't know what they call it. Josh, someone asked me what's the ninth letter of the alphabet. It was a complete... Josh, someone asked me what's the ninth letter of the alphabet. It was a complete guess, but I was right. Crisp. Aye. What's the ninth letter of the alphabet? It was a complete guess, but I was
right. Yeah.
Fucking, can we ban him? Like, I like him, and he's real positive in the group. But fucking, come on. Anyway, thank you very much, Kyle David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Before we go, I want to give a shout out to I Can't Die, who released a song called Teaser. That is a fucking ripper. Check that out. Also, if you're about this Saturday in Cardiff, check out one of our patrons, Keris Andrews, is putting on gigs at Fuel and the Moon Club in Cardiff. It's an all-dayer. Please check that out. There's a bunch of bands playing who are Patreon members, so it's going to be very, very exciting. Please, please check it out. What's it called?
Critical Creator.
I was way off. I knew it. I'd fucking seen it. But there you go. Yeah, so check it out. Come on down to Cardiff on the 16th. What are you going to say?
At Critical Creators on Instagram. There's a whole account about it and more information on the lying up and it being a good course and the gigs and bands and all that. So yeah, go and check it out.
Yes, please do. We might be there. So not that's a selling point for anyone. Yeah, if that's put you off, we might not be there. So there you go. But yeah, thank you very much if you've listened this far. Tom DeLonge, please come on. Travis Barker, choose your words wisely. Also, if God saved your kid, God also did that to your kid. Apologies for making you realize that's how God would obviously work, isn't it? Mad.
Sapnin!
We're never going to talk to aliens about Tom DeLonge at this rate. Morgan, is there any way of adding this note to the end of the podcast to say, since I did all that alien nonsense, it's been absolutely debunked that they are not actually aliens. So, fucking hell. Maybe Travis Barker was right all along and God does exist and is great. Sorry, everyone.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.